With us on the line now is Mara Yamauchi, a two-time Olympian, Commonwealth Games and bronze medalist, and London Marathon runner-up. She's the UK's second fastest female marathon runner ever. Her book, Marathon Wisdom, is all about her life in marathon running. Welcome to the show, Mara.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's great to chat with you. And how was the process of writing the book? Did you enjoy kind of reminiscing about everything?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was hard work, I have to say. But I really enjoyed it and really enjoyed taking a trip down memory lane, if I can put it like that, from my marathon career.
Yeah.
But it covers not just my elite marathon career, but when I was much younger, and since I've retired as well.
So how did you get into marathon running? How did you go from, you know, enjoying running and being good at running to becoming a marathon runner?
So when I was 11, I had a dream to become an elite athlete after watching the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics on TV. And I did endurance running when I was younger, so cross country, 5K, 10K. And then when I was 29, I returned to the UK having been working in Japan. And I thought, right, this going to the Olympics thing, it's now or never. And I looked at the qualifying standards for the Athens Olympics in 2004. And the events for women at that time were the 5,000, 10,000 and the marathon. And the qualifying standards for the 5 and the 10, I felt, were just too hard for me. I didn't feel I had the natural speed. So by process of elimination, I chose the marathon and I ended up loving it. And so I stuck with it thereafter. And I think it was the best distance for me because I'm better at stamina rather than speed. And I just plugged away at it for 10 or more years before I retired.
Gosh, amazing. So for people who have never done any long distance marathon, I think the idea of running a marathon just sounds absolutely incredible and so far from anything that a kind of normal person could achieve. What would you say to that? Do you think that anybody could be capable of training for a marathon?
Yes, definitely. I mean, when I was younger, the notion of running 26 miles was quite off-putting for me. It really had no appeal. But as I got older and I did longer races, so 10K, 10 miles, half marathon, I began to realize that the marathon was possible and could be enjoyable. So I would say just approach it step by step. If you're a beginner at running, I would say start with 5K and 10K and gradually build up to the marathon. The marathon is a long way, and it's much better to do it when you're able to prepare properly. It's just more enjoyable, less risk of injury and so on. And just do it step by step. Set yourself a training plan. And in my book, I cover how you can do that. Look after yourself away from running, so good sleep, good food, get a massage now and again and so on. And step by step, anyone can reach the ability to do a marathon.
And how important is it to find the right pair of shoes for you? And how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, this is really important because your feet are obviously the only part of your body that hit the ground. So they take a lot of pounding. My advice on shoes would be to go to a good running shop and just try on many different types of shoes. I was sponsored by Asics when I was competing, so that I really love Asics, but, you know, everyone's feet are different. So I would try on different shoes and just find the one which suits you best. That could be something with more cushion or a slightly lighter shoe, one with more stability. So, yeah, everybody is different and you just have to find what suits you best.
And is the idea that once you find the right pair of shoes, that there shouldn't be discomfort in the feet? You know, there shouldn't be blisters, there shouldn't be discomfort. Or is it the case that when you're running such a far distance, then that's bound to happen anyway?
Well, ideally, they would be really comfortable. And I wouldn't recommend running much in shoes which are uncomfortable. That's not to say that you won't occasionally get blisters. or other trouble with your feet. You know, the marathon is a long way, so if you're doing long training, you might occasionally develop blisters. But I think just experimenting and trying different shoes until you find the one that suits you best is the best piece of advice I can offer.
Yeah, because I did a half marathon last year, and that was the first thing I'd ever done that was certainly of that length, and I can't believe I did it, you know, started from scratch.
Well done.
Thank you. Started from scratch, as you said, and each step of the way you think, no, this is never going to happen, and then you achieve it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
But I did have issues with my trainers, and I forked out and spent more than I'd ever spent on a pair of trainers, and thought they were okay, but they sort of weren't. I don't know, it's so difficult, because in the shop they seemed fine.
Yeah, I mean, some shops will allow you to have a little run around outside on the pavement, so, or if they have a treadmill in the store, you can do that. If you find a pair that you like, I would buy another pair exactly the same and keep them in your cupboard until you need them.
Yeah, definitely. And when you retired, did you keep up the running just for fun, or did you stop completely?
So I stopped completely for a short time because I had a lot of injuries, and the stress of constantly having to train at such a high level sort of got to me. But then I returned to running, and now I do it just for fun at a recreational level, and I still really love it. I'm much slower than I used to be, but I still just try and get the most joy out of it. You know, running is such a simple, accessible and inexpensive sport, and has so many benefits in terms of like mental and physical health, seeing your friends, being out in the fresh air and so on. I just enjoy it at a level which is sustainable and which keeps me fit, and which I enjoy.
Mm. And what about your injuries? What injuries did you get? Because a lot of people who either don't do running or did do running for a while often talk about it being bad for the knees.
So thankfully, I've never had knee trouble. I did have plantar fasciitis several times, which is inflammation of the long, large tendon which runs the length of your foot. This is a very common injury amongst runners, and also amongst people who spend their lives standing up, like teachers and nurses.
Mm.
The key with tendon injuries is you have to load them. You have to exercise the tendon to encourage the regeneration process. I've also had stress responses, so that is the stage before a stress fracture. So it's not a fracture of the bone, but just inflammation. And with that, you really have to rest. Injuries in running always happen for a reason, and it's usually overtraining or imbalance in how you run, or poor choice of footwear, that sort of thing. Running injuries rarely are trauma injuries, unless you kind of run into a bollard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And also increasing your training too quickly, that also can lead to injury. The real key is to train and then give yourself enough time to recover fully before you train again. And if you do that, you shouldn't get injuries.
Yeah. Okay. And does it get easier, you know, when you've done more than one, whether it's competitively or not, do you kind of find your rhythm and you know, establish how it works well for you, and then it kind of gets easier each time, or not?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, my first marathon was a bit mixed, if I'm honest. I completed it in a reasonable time, but a few things went wrong. So it was a really great learning experience. And thereafter, I could correct the mistakes I'd made. And my second marathon was much better. So I would say, yeah, it does get better over time. And because you can only run marathons quite infrequently, you know, you have to wait quite a long time before you can have another attempt. So the process of refining and mastering your craft, as it were, can take a few years, but it's incredibly rewarding. And along the way, all that training will be helping your physical and mental health.
Yeah. And what about the idea of the wall, hitting the wall when you're doing a long run with a marathon or even a half marathon? You know, you get to that point where you think, oh, I could easily stop. And if you break through that, then again, theoretically, it gets easier.
Yeah, so hitting the wall means running out of carbohydrate as a fuel, generally. And that means you have to burn fat more as a fuel. And that is much more difficult. So that's why you have this overwhelming sense of exhaustion. But there are ways of addressing that. One is to train at speeds which will optimize your fat metabolism, which I call fast jog. So it's jogging, but at a pace where you just can't have a conversation. Another is to do long runs, because that depletes your fuel stores and makes you better at metabolizing the fuel stores you have. And then a third tip is to just not set off too fast on race day, because the faster you run, the faster you will burn carbohydrate. So the slower you run, you will spare your carbohydrate stores and burn more fat. So just through a combination of those things, you can reduce the possibility of hitting the wall. And of course, taking on energy before and during the race also is another way to avoid that wall.
Okay. And what has been your career highlight, would you say?
I would say there were two. One was finishing sixth in the Beijing Olympics, which was the joint best performance by a British woman in the Olympic marathon ever, and still even now. And then the second was winning the Osaka Marathon in Japan in January 2008. I only won one marathon in my entire career, so that was really, really special. And it was also really, really something, because the previous summer in 2007 I raced the Osaka World Championships Marathon and I messed up my tactics and finished ninth, whereas I think I should have finished much higher up. But then I returned to Osaka on the same course for the Osaka Ladies Marathon, and I ran much better tactically on that day, and that led to me winning. So it was a lesson in learning from your mistakes and doing better the next time.
Brilliant. And the one that you won, how much of the race were you aware? I mean, I know when there's a big race, there's kind of a group of elite runners, front runners, that they kind of put together right from the beginning. So were you kind of aware of your chances right from the start, or was it much nearer to the end where you started to get in the mindset of I could win this?
Oh, it was much closer to the end. So, I mean, the field was really exceptional. It included Konstantina Dieter, who later went on to become the Olympic champion in Beijing 2008. Lots of Japanese, really top runners. So I didn't think, oh, I can easily win this by any means. But at around the 30K mark, I was in the lead group. Actually, I was in the second group because a Japanese athlete had gone off very fast ahead of us. And I gradually applied pressure, dropped the group, and then a bit further on, I overtook the early leader and went into the lead, and then just kept my lead to the end. So it was a really, really special day.
Oh, wonderful. And how did you celebrate?
I'm normally chocolate is involved when I'm celebrating. and then I had a rest in the week after, because a marathon takes so much out of you. It's not just race day. It's all the training you do in advance, which you have to recover from. So I had a really good rest and then got back into training for the Olympics, which were in August of that year, 2008.
Wow. And do you think it's one of those things that if it's in you, even if you were to have a rest for a number of years, even do you think it's kind of easier to get back into it as opposed to starting from scratch, having never done it before?
Yes, I think there is some truth in that. I mean, I did a marathon in 2019, which was 6 years after I retired. And I just broke 3 hours, which is kind of the gold standard for recreational level athletes. So I think undoubtedly there was some memory still there, if you like. But I know people who've taken up the marathon as beginners in their 40s, 50s, and even older, who do very well at it and improve even into their middle and later age. And yeah, I think it's never too late to take on the marathon.
Mm. Well, you're very inspiring, Mara. It's been lovely to chat with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really would love it if your listeners bought my book, Marathon Wisdom, it's called.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure they will. It's available on our website, tre.radio, so listeners can get it from there. Marathon Wisdom by Mara Yamauchi, who we've been chatting with. Mara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.